الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us many, many great favors, and one great favor which we are doing is the month of month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And Allah ta'ala says you must make shukr and thank Allah ta'ala for this month. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. We have given you all these laws of fasting, of the tilawat of Quran Sharif, of i'tikaf, of dua, many, many great, great bounties of suhoor, sari, and what different ni'mat and bounties Allah has given us. So Allah ta'ala says at the end of the month, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You must make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great, great bounty. One is physical bounties a person understands, but these are spiritual bounties. It will help a person spiritually in this life also. It will help a person in the qabr also, on the day of Qiyamah also. So may Allah give us the reality of this, what great, great ni'mat and bounties Allah has given us. However, as the person comes normally closer to the ending, people become lax. They start taking things easy. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your actions are according to the final result, the final portion. We know a person's life, he lives a whole life of iman. For the last year of his life, he leaves this world without iman. Allah protect and save us. He is in the servant of that one muazzin for many, many years in Misr, in Egypt, in Cairo. He was a muazzin, and once he had gone up to give adhan, and his eyes fell onto one lady, and when he saw this lady, he became infatuated with her. And after giving the adhan, he came down. He goes to the house of that lady. He knocks. When she opens the door, he wants to try to enter. She says, "What are you doing?" His name was Salih. He said, "I'm Salih the Muazzin." She says, "What do you want to do here?" He said, "No, I've fallen in love with you." So she said, "No, you know what? You're a Muslim. I'm a Christian. We can never get together. I'm a Christian woman." So he says, "No, please, I have to have you." So she says, "Let my father come. I'm an honorable woman. You're an honorable man, and we can make nikah. We can get married. But on one condition, my father won't accept you. You have to accept Christianity." So he said, "Okay, I'm prepared to accept Christianity." And on the same day, while he was walking to get wedding preparations, he was on the wall, he slipped and he fell, and he passed away. Allah protect and save all of us. So a person, it depends on the final portion of a person's life. And many, many people at the end of their life, they recite Kalima and they leave this world with Iman. How fortunate they are. This is not the normal system of the world. The normal system of the world is a person lives with Iman, inshallah he dies with Iman. And a person who lives with Kufr, then the normal system, he passed away with kufr. But many, many times Allah Ta'ala shows us the opposite. So a person must take lesson from it. They don't ever feel happy and contented and proud that I got iman, so inshallah I'm leaving this world with iman. Until we don't leave this world reciting the kalima and we've left this world, then only a person can be happy. Imam Mahmud bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi is on his deathbed. And people are saying, recite kalima, and he's saying, la ba'adu, not as yet. People are surprised. When he came back to his senses, so they asked him, "Hazrat, we are telling you read Kalima." He's saying, not now. He said, "No, I wasn't speaking to you all. Shaitan came to me, and Shaitan is telling me, you know what, Imam Ahmad, you have managed to pass, you passed your examination. I could not trap you, I could not ensnare you, and you have passed your examination." So I'm saying, "No, Shaitan, la ba'du, not as yet, until my last breath doesn't come out from my body, I've got no guarantee I will leave the soul of Iman." Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi, in one malfuz, he has mentioned three prescriptions by which a person can leave this world with iman. Allah give us tawfiq, we practice upon them. There are many other prescriptions ulama have mentioned. Hazrat Mullah Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he's gotten about 9 prescriptions, but I will just mention these 3 inshallah. Very simple, we practice upon them, inshallah we will leave this world with iman. The first one he says is to make shukr on iman. Daily a person must take out time, even if it's a minute, and make shukr on iman. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you will make shukr, if you will be grateful, Allah will definitely increase you. Just to say Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah Ta'ala for this ni'mat and bounty of iman. So every day thank Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you have given me iman. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you have given me Islam, you have given me Salah, you have given me all of these things. So make lot of shukr. Mentioned about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he said that if a person continuously makes shukr on his iman, then eventually he will reach the stage of ihsan, a very very high level of iman, where a person gets realities. But when he makes shukr on iman continuously, then eventually Allah will give him that level. So this is one prescription for a person to leave the soul with iman. Every day take out time and make shukr on our iman. The second is to make dua for iman. And there are many many duas. There are dua in the Quran Sharif which Allah mentions, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِخْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدِ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Then oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا تُزِخْ قُلُوبَنَا. Do not make our hearts misguided. Do not misguide our hearts. بَعْدِ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you've given us hidayat and guidance, don't turn our hearts away. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ. And oh Allah ta'ala, from your side, grant us rahmat. Rahmat means istiqamah, steadfastness in our iman. Because إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. You are the greatest giver of gifts. You have given me the gift of iman. Oh Allah ta'ala, let me remain steadfast on the gift of iman. So this is the second one. There are other du'as also. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Nastaghith. This is also one du'a to keep a person steadfast on iman. But whatever, a person must continuously make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show Allah ta'ala that we are completely in need of Allah ta'ala and we want to leave the soul with iman. And the third thing Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentions is that always stay in the company of good and pious people. هم القوم لا يشقى بهم جليسهم. They are such a people that those who sit in their company with sincerity and ikhlas, if a person must sit with sincerity, then inshallah such people will not be deprived. They will not be deprived. They will not become wretched. Inshallah Allah Ta'ala will look after this person's iman. And according to Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he's written one kitab about the last moments of a person's life and shaitan's deception at the time of death. So he's mentioned one narration there that at the time of death, a person's company, whatever company he used to keep in his life, they come to him. If he had good company, then a form of those people come to him and they encourage a person to recite kalima. But on the other hand, if he had evil company, bad friends, and even worse, non-Muslim friends, then normally at the time of death, they come and they trouble a person and encourage a person to leave iman and Islam. So may Allah protect and save us. So these are 3 prescriptions which our buzurgs have mentioned. Try to practice simply prescriptions, but we try to remain firm on them, inshallah, because the most valuable gift is iman. And not only iman, but to leave this world with iman. If a person has left this world with iman, inshallah, he is successful, he has passed his examination. And na'udhu billah, Allah protect and save us. If a person leaves this world without iman, his whole life, well, everything has been wasted. On the day of Qiyamah, that person will be granted all the bounties of this world. Every kind of ease and comfort he had in this world. He will be taken and for 1 second put into Jahannam. And then Allah Ta'ala will ask him, oh, Ibn servant, did you ever taste any goodness in your life? He say, Allah, I never ever felt any goodness in my life. I never went through any kind of goodness. Another person will be brought. He went through the most amount of difficulties in this world. Problems upon problems. We can't even imagine what difficulties he went through. But he will be put into Jannah for a short while. And then Allah will ask him, oh my Banda, did you ever go through any difficulties? Say, Allah, I never ever went through any difficulties in my life. Because there's that enjoyment what a person will get. So that is the real life, the life of Akhirat, and we need our iman. So the person must look after his iman. So anyhow, just like how our iman, innamal a'malu bil khawatim, your actions are according to the last time when a person is leaving this world. Similarly, the actions which we are doing now, example, the month of Ramadan is coming to an ending. So now a person must not become lax at that time. We had many times from our mashayikh that many, many accidents, they are caused right near home. When the person is on the journey. When he comes near home now, he becomes lax. So that's the time when a person, when he loses concentration, and eventually he meets an accident. So now the last few moments of Ramadan, he should not have become lax, But now actually a person should exert himself even more. A person must make more ibadat now. And not take it easy. Normally the last few moments, a person now says, takes it easy, doesn't worry so much. No, now a person must increase more. And what is the thing a person must do in great abundance? At the last moments, lot of tawbah and istighfar. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, at the end of Ramadan, he used to send out a letter to his governors, to all the provinces, and he used to tell the hukam, the rulers there, You must make an arm announcement to the people that now Ramadan is coming to an end, increase your istighfar. Increase your istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, for forgiveness, for forgiveness, and increase your sadaqah also. Give more charity. Give more charity. Because the ulama write the charity is like sadaqah, is like sadaqah, is like sadaqah, is like tajzah istahu. In namaz, when a person makes a mistake, so he writes tajzah istahu. So this will cover up for the mistake and error, mistake and errors. So sadaqah also is a sadaqah, is a kind of tajzah istahu. Whatever weaknesses a person has got, mistakes, when we go for hajj also, normally we give some sadaqah after a person is finished, for whatever weaknesses there is in there. So also at the end of Ramadan, we give sadaqah to fitr, that is actually to recompense us for all our gunas in our sins. But the person should, that's the lowest level. A person can try to increase. Doesn't mean now it's 22 rand, you must exactly give 22 rand. The person must give a bit more, because we know our weaknesses, etc. So he used to encourage the people, make sadaqah to fitr, give it, make sure, and make abundance of istighfar. And he said, look at all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, in the letter he used to write there. They look at all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, look at Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He also made istighfar. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This is Adam alayhi salam's dua. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِنْ لَا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Wallah, if you don't forgive me, you don't have mercy upon me, I will be amongst the losers. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالَّذِي أَتْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. The one who I have got hope that he will forgive my sins and my weaknesses on the day of Qiyamah. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfir li. Oh Allah, I've made zulm upon myself. Oh Allah, forgive me. And Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He said, oh Allah, Anbiya alayhi salam, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, right? See how they used to all ask Allah for forgiveness. So they were the Anbiya alayhi salam. Where are we? So definitely we should make abundance of istighfar. And the ulama write that the fasting of a person is a junnah. It is a shield. Ma lam yakhruqha. As long as a person hasn't made a hole in the shield. Once you make a hole by guna, by sins, backbiting, whatever, then you have made a hole in the shield. So this will not help you completely against the fire of Jahannam and from the difficulties. But by making tawbah and istighfar is like a patch. So it patches up that shield. So inshallah, by means of that day, the shield will help and assist the person. So they say when you come to the end of any action, abundance of tawbah and istighfar. And this was the pattern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find also in his life, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of any action, Quran Sharif actually revealed ayat of the Quran. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now your mission has come to an end. You will leave the world very, very soon. But continue making the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah Ta'ala. Nothing is of our own kamal and perfection. Allah give us tawfiq. Hamd. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ya Allah, please forgive me, ya Allah. I am a spoiler. What and what bounties you have granted to me. And I really spoiled it. So in this way a person leaves the month of Ramadan, inshallah, this is a very, very good sign. Not a sign of arrogance and pride that we went for itikaf, and we made so many khatams of Quran, and we fasted, and we really had a wonderful Ramadan, and what a spiritual upliftment. No, a banda and servant, he humbles himself. That is why also on the day of Eid, the masnoon dua when you meet your Muslim brother is, تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكَ. May Allah accept from us, because our actions are not worthy of acceptance. May Allah accept from us, we are making that dua, and may Allah accept from you also. But we are firstly more in need of it. We say تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكَ. May Allah Ta'ala accept from us and from you also. So a person must leave with this frame of mind in the month of Ramadan. Wonderful guest has come to my house, and when a guest is leaving the house, a person normally feels bad. I haven't fulfilled your right. I haven't done enough. So please may you ask the person, please make me maaf, I ask for forgiveness. Please come back next time, come visit me again, and I really I'm going to miss you. So also we should leave, the month of Ramadan should leave it that way, that we should leave with obviously happiness on one side, that we fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are happy that guests came and we try to do whatever we could in our capacity, but we also say that the guest is leaving. This honorable month of Ramadan is leaving. A person must have that bit of sadness and sorrow also, that ya Allah, this month is leaving, I haven't fulfilled the right of the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, ta'ala, please forgive me. So this is one great ibadat of tawbah and istighfar at the end of Ramadan, and the end of any action in our life. But now the month of Ramadan has come to an end, so we should make abundance of tawbah and istighfar. The second thing is that the night of Eid will come thereafter, and this is a very Mubarak and blessed night also, and it's a night where Allah Ta'ala is giving his bandas in great abundance. It's a day of ja'izah, the day of prize giving, where Allah Ta'ala wants to give a person. So this is the night when a person must stay up and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the five nights of the year in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala readily accepts duas, one is the night of Eid. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali complains, you see many, many people unfortunately, as soon as they get the information that the moon of Eid has been sighted, so they go to sleep that night. 20 rakahs, they were reading the whole of Ramadan, but that night not even tahajjud salah, A person now is unmindful. Whereas that is a night for a person to get great gifts. Allah is giving a person in that night. Allah wants to shower a person, and the person goes to sleep. So what a deprivation for that day. So a person must try also on that Eid night, especially to stay awake. It comes in certain narrations, whoever keeps awake on the two nights of Eid, and when on the day of Qiyamah, when all the other hearts will be dead, Allah will keep that person's heart alive. So this is another action also on the night of Eid. You should try to stay awake and try to spend some time at least in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thereafter will be the day of Eid. Inshallah, there are certain sunnahs we will mention just now. And thereafter is the month of Shawwal, which starts. And there are the sixth fast. So the ulama have written, there are great lessons for us to take from the sixth fast of the Shawwal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, and then he follows it up with the sixth fast of Shawwal, kana ka siyami dahar, it will be like a person who has been fasting forever. The whole year he has been fasting. The ulama say that there are 30 fasts in Ramadan, and six fasts of Shawwal. So 30 plus 6 is 36. In the Islamic calendar, it has about 355 days. So 36. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu 'ashru amthaliha. Allah multiplies it by 10. So a person will get a reward of 360. I always had this doubt in my mind, that why Shawwal only? Example, if I fast in Zulqa'dah or Zulhijjah or in Muharram, I'll fast at 6 and I got my 6 of 30 of Ramadan. So 30 plus 6 is 36. You still get any time of the year. So why is the emphasis given in the month of Shawwal? So the ulama say that this fast year of Shawwal, if you will keep it, with the 30 fast of Ramadan. The 30 fast of Ramadan is Faraz Rojas. And in Shawwal also, the thawab you will get is like keeping 360 Faraz Rojas. Any time of the year you keep a roza and a fasting, you will get a thawab of Nafal, the Nafal fast, not the Faraz fast. But yeah, Allah Ta'ala is so kind that in the month of Shawwal, if a person keeps the 6 fast, so he has kept 30 Faraz Rojas, 30 Faraz fast, and 6 Nafal now. But Allah Ta'ala will join it together. So it will become like 36 Faraz fast. And the person, Allah will give him the reward of fasting the whole year, the Faraz Rojas of the whole year. So this is the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is very, very great reward when the person will keep the sixth fast. And the ulama say you don't have to keep it continuously one after the other. Even though some say it's preferable, as soon as the month of Ramadan comes on Eid day, you don't fast, and you start off from the next day. Mashallah, there are those people we see that as soon as the next day, the sixth fast, they keep it one after the other. It's very Mubarak and blessed. But however, the ulama have given ease, concession, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, six fast in Shawwal. So any 6 days in Shawwal, a person keeps the roza, inshallah, he will get this great virtue. See, the lessons we can learn from here, this is one is the thawab we will get. A second lesson we can learn from this fasting is that this fasting is like actually an expiation of sins. They are nafal, they are extra. It is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. He says on the day of Qiyamah, the first thing to be reckoned for a person will be his salah. If his salah is found correct, then all the other matters will become, a person will pass. But if his salah is found deficient, he will have some problems. So what will happen then? In his first salah, Allah Ta'ala will look to cover up for his deficiencies in his nafal salah. So the nafal salahs will join up with the first salah, all the deficiency will be removed, and then inshallah a person will become successful. So as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes there, that's why, because our salahs are very, very deficient. That is why it's very, very important for us to read our nafal salahs. And that is why we have our sunnah muakkada. It comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person who reads 12 rakat of sunnah namaz, a day, Allah Ta'ala will build for that person a palace in Jannah. So every day, just reading the 12 rakat, 2 rakat before Fajr or 2 sunnah muakkada, 4 before Zuhar, 2 after Zuhar, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha, what we call the sunnah muakkada salah. And in Jummah, we 4 before the Jummah Salah, and then 4 and 2 after the Jummah Salah. Normally in Jummah it's a bit extra, so we did 4 before, and then 4 and 2 and two after the Jummah Salah. And unfortunately, many, many people deprive themselves. They are great, great rewards. What in what? A person is getting a palace in Jannah every day for just reading the 12 rakats of Salah. And where to build a house, you know how much of time it takes, how much of money, effort. Yeah, every day a person is getting it by the small, easy action a person is doing. So may Allah give us the reality of akhirat, of thawab. So this is a person, when we are doing the sunnat salahs, they are removing all the weaknesses which are in our farz salahs. Similarly, when a person is fasting in the month of Ramadan, it's not perfect, it's fast. So by keeping the 6 rozas, ulama say in the month of Shaaban also we are encouraged to fast. And after in Shawwal also we are encouraged to fast. So that's like the sunnat muakkada salahs, the salahs before and the salahs after namaz. So in this way, this will be an expiation of sins, a removal of the sins and the weaknesses which were found in the fasting of a person. So it will benefit a person, inshallah. So his fasting will become more perfect in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second point they mentioned. They say the third point, what a person is getting is, that a person, the whole month of Ramadan, he fasted. Then on the day of Eid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the people are going towards the Eidgah, the Eid Salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving glad tidings, and the angels are standing on the street, and they are calling out, and they are saying that, oh, and Allah ta'ala asks the angels, that my banda and servant, he has done his work in full. Well, what must I do? Can I must pay him in full? They say, oh, Allah ta'ala, you have to pay this person in full. And Allah ta'ala says, definitely, I am happy with these people, and I will never become displeased with them, and I want to pay them the full reward. In the akhirah, the person will get the full reward. So what a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what it was for? For fasting. So when the person hears what great bounties Allah has given him for this fasting, so automatically a person wants to make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one very, very great form of shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Eid, a person is feasting. He's eating the best of food. Allah is saying now, but now 30 days you fasted, today I want you to eat. It's haram for you actually to fast. This is my bounty, that you must eat nicely. Enjoy yourself. These are my bounties. This is one form of celebration. But another form of celebration is fasting. So you to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, what a great bounty you gave me. So that is six fast. Allah ta'ala said, keep the six fast, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, as a form of appreciation and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what great bounties Allah has given us. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given so many bounties, so he stood up longer in salah. Long salah he used to make. Allah has given us salah, but he increased it. Because I must be a abdim shakura. I must be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third lesson we learn, that you must make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties. And how we thank Allah ta'ala? By doing more ibadat. So it is famous about most likely it was Dawud alayhi salam, and one narrating Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So they explain to Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah, if I make shukr to you, then the ability to make shukr, the tawfiq to make shukr is also from you. And then I'm going to make shukr on that bounty, but the tawfiq to make shukr on that bounty is also from you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can I, you can never ever stop. Because the minute I say Alhamdulillah, that also is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, we are unable to really fulfill your shukr and make enough shukr to you. So Allah ta'ala said, now you have really made my shukr. When a person makes so much of shukr, and then he realizes, I am unable to make shukr, then that is when the reality of shukr will come into a person. Allah ta'ala says, now you have made shukr, now you have really understood what the reality of shukr is. So this is also, person is fasting in the month of Ramadan now, we've done one action of ibadat, and we make shukr, we keep fast, and actually you have to make more shukr after the day also. So for the whole year also, Allah ta'ala has kept the system, three fasts every month a person keeps. So in this way, he's making shukr of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth point a person learns from here is, ulama write that we are learning the lesson of istiqamat. That the month of Ramadan came and a person was fasting. Now it mustn't be that now, month of Ramadan is finished, so everything else is finished also. But no, a person must continue now. After the month of Ramadan, not to that level what he was in the month of Ramadan, but continue. So only six. One fourth of the month of Ramadan. Ramadan was 30 fasts. At least one fourth of that amount. You cut down your ibadat, but don't stop. Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, which month is more virtuous? Is Rajab more virtuous or Sha'ban more virtuous? So he said, Kun Rabbaniyan, La takun Rajabiyan wala Sha'baniyan. He said, become a Rabbani, become a Allah wala. Don't become a Rajabi and a Sha'bani. A person only in Rajab is worshipping Allah Ta'ala, only in Sha'ban is worshipping Allah Ta'ala, or only in Ramadan is worshipping Allah Ta'ala. But throughout the year, a person has become a worshipper of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So definitely to the level which he was in the month of Ramadan, he cannot remain. But he must have istiqamat, continue the ibadat after Ramadan. He was performing 20 rakats extra salat at night in Taraweeh salat, and one whole para he was reciting, he could manage that. So after the month of Ramadan, what difficulty is there for a person to read 8 rakats of tahajjud salat, to read 4 rakats of tahajjud salat? A person fasted 30 days of the month of Ramadan. So what difficulty is there now for a person to fast 3 days every month? A person was giving so much of charity in the month of Ramadan. So what difficulty is there for a person to give a small portion during the rest of the month of, during the rest of the year? And more importantly, a person was staying away from gunas and sins in the month of he was staying away from halal things in the month of Ramadan. He was staying away from halal food, halal drinks, from his wife during the day, which is halal also. He was staying away. So when a person could stay away from halal things in the month of Ramadan, so what difficulty is there for a person out of the month of Ramadan to stay away from haram things? So a person must not just come now, the month of Ramadan has come to an end, but he must continue after the month of Ramadan. Our Mashaykh has given us a beautiful example. They say that there was once a person, he was sitting in his car, he was going out for a drive Sunday morning with his family. So he's sitting with his wife, children, And as they're going, they came to one traffic light, a robot, and they saw one person hitching. So the father says, you know what, I've got no place in my car. So the car is full. I'm with my wife and my children. We're going on a journey. So the person says, okay, but you know who I am? I'm Mr. Dollar. So when he heard this, he said, hey, Mr. Dollar, you are a very, very valuable person. So he told his wife, we sit in the back seat. Mr. Dollar, you come and sit next to me. Anyhow, they continued. They came to the next stop. And now they see another person. The person says, you know, I'm sorry. I pushed my wife in the back also because of Mr. Dollar. How can I give you a lift? He said, okay, but I'm Mr. Pound. I'm double of Dollar. So when he heard this, he said, hey, you know what? You, Mr. Dollar, you sit in the back seat. He put his wife and children in the boot. And he put Mr. Pound next to him now. He's going to continue. He came to a next stop. Another person standing there. He's also asking for a lift. So he told that person, I'm sorry, you know, because of Mr. Dollar, Mr. Pound, I actually put my wife in the boot. I can't take you. But he said, you know, I'm Mr. Islam. And you know, I will help you in your whole life. I will help you in this life also. I will help you in the Qabr. I will help you in the day of Qiyamah. I will help you in every aspect. So the person told Mr. Islam, you know, hey, Mr. Islam, hey, I love you so much. I know you can do a lot for me. But you know what? You'd rather go to the masjid. I'll come visit you in the masjid. In the month of Ramadan, I'll come visit you. But to come to in my car, to come in my house, in my business, is a bit difficult. You know, we got dollar, pound here. My wife there is in the boat. I haven't got time for you. It's a bit difficult. We have Mr. Islam in my life. So please go in the masjid. I'll bring a pot of food for you also. I'll make mehman nawazi. I'll honor you also. When you ever come in the masjid in the form of a jamaat, I'll come and visit you also. Yatikaf, I'll come and visit you. But please, you stay out of my life. I don't want you in my house. I don't want you in my business. So Mr. Islam, he couldn't do anything. He said, okay, no problem. So the person continued. He came to the next stop street. Another person was there. So he said, I'm sorry. I had no place for Mr. Islam also. The person said, no, don't worry. I don't want a lift. I came to give you a lift. I'm Mr. Malak al-Mawt. I'm the angel of death. And then the wife in the back is shouting, please take him and take him very, very fast also. Because of Mr. Dollar, Mr. Pound, he pushed me also right in the back. So this is unfortunately our condition, that we pushing Islam in the back. We got no time for Islam. Islam must only remain in the month of Ramadan. But once I leave, I take off. Once I leave the month of Ramadan, I must go back to my old lifestyle. There must be no change in my life at all. So this is a very, very bad state of affairs. May Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. That when a person leaves the month of Ramadan, how he was continuing with his amal in Ramadan, not to the same level, but to the same level, but definitely a person must still remain a good Muslim. How sad and fortunate is a person in the month of Ramadan? The ulama say that if a person does any good action and he follows it up with another good action, then this is a sign that the action has been accepted. Any good action a person does, and you follow it up with a good action again, example, you read Zuhar Namaz, and then you come for Asr Salah, so you chose the Salah, Zuhar Salah has been accepted. They say, but that action, that good action, which after is followed up by Ma'asiyat, by sin, then it's a very bad sign. We won't say it's not accepted, but it's not a very, very good sign. So they say, example, after the month of Ramadan, if a person goes completely back to his old lifestyle again, according to some Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alayhi, he says very harsh words. He says, Fasiyamu mardudun. He says, his fasta is rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very harsh words he used. But may Allah ta'ala protect and save us. So a person must see that the month of Ramadan has come to an end. What changes come into my life? How, when I go back home now, I mustn't go back to my old lifestyle. But some changes have to come into my life. Even if there's one change in a person's life, but a person has become a better Muslim, inshallah, this is a sign that his month of Ramadan has been accepted. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq that we appreciate this, the month of Ramadan. We take the lessons from the month of Ramadan. And just to conclude, inshallah, I will just mention a few sunnahs of the day of Eid. When a person is going out, a few about 10 sunnahs, Hazrat Amir rahmatullah has mentioned. One is spending the night in Ibadat, the night of Eid. On the morning of Eid, we should try to wear our best clothing. Not necessarily new, but whatever clothing you have got, the best Islamic clothing a person must, he must wear. We should have a bath on the Eid morning, make miswak, especially every day we should make miswak, but more so on the day of Eid, and apply itar also. And then try to wake up earlier than usual. Now in the month of Ramadan, we are waking up 4 o'clock, so it mustn't happen on Eid day, we wake up just before Fajr Salah, or we only wake up for Eid Salah, but wake up a bit earlier than usual. So we are waking up 4 o'clock, wake up, try to wake up 4:15 that morning, slightly earlier, so we can spend some time in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And try to leave early for the Eidgah. One sunnah of the Eid is to perform the Eid Salah in the Eidgah. If a person is not ma'azur, etc., it's not very cold, there's no shari reason, try as far as possible to perform namaz in the Eidgah. If a person is old, he's ma'azur, he's got some reason, no problem, then he can perform in the masjid also. And this Eid, we should try to eat something which is sweet, in odd numbers, whether it's khajur, a person has dates, or if there isn't dates, then anything sweet also a person must try to have. in odd numbers, 3, 5, 7 a person must have. Sadaqatul fitr, a person must make sure he gives before going out for the Eid Salah. And it's preferable, a person when he's going, is mustahab, to take different roads. You're going on one road, come back on another road, the person is going. And a person, as far as possible, should try to go walking. He shouldn't try to. He should try as far as possible if it's within his ability to walk. And finally, the takbirat, we should be recited, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa litukabbirullaha ala ma hadakum. The person says Allah's greatness, because Allah gave us hidayat, Allah gave us great, great bounties. When a person gets so overjoyed, he says, Allahu Akbar. So that is why the takbir is, Ya Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ya Allah, this is your greatness, that you gave us the tawfiq and ability. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah, this is the soul saved person from ujab. I did nothing at all. Oh Allah, you are very, very great. That's why Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the takbir a person must try to read softly when we are going for the Eid Salah. And then in the Salah also there are three takbir that a person recites. So this is part of fulfilling the command of Allah Ta'ala, وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا ala ma hadakum. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and ability to practice in whatever has been mentioned.